Welcome to Kicking with KPOC, a podcast about business stories and marketing advice. I'm Jake.
And I'm Morella.
And this is episode 22, Everything a Small Business Needs to Know About Websites. Today, Morella and I will be talking about the importance of websites. We'll also go over what you need to know about websites. We'll explore what information your business must have on its website. We'll also discuss how to get a website and how much it should cost. How should we get started, Morella?
Well, I guess we can talk about why a small business would need a website. And I think this is one of the most popular topics that we get calls about or emails about. Someone starts a new business or they've been in business for a little bit and they want to know if they really should get a website or if they should take their current website to the next level. Mm-hmm. And the answer is always, yes, you do need a website if you are a business or if you are taking yourself seriously as a business. And the way we kind of talk about it and we frame it as the foundation for your business, it is essentially your online face or the platform that allows you to, I guess, manage your brand and your reputation and your image. And it's also the foundation for all of your digital marketing efforts. So, for example, if you decide to run online ads and you don't have a website, then where are you going to take people to? I guess you can just run ads and waste money, but you need a website if you want to have an online reputation and if you want to do business online. And also it's a given. If someone tells me about a restaurant, the first thing that I do is I go to Google or whatever search engine and I look for that business. If the business comes up and there's no website, then I think that there's something sketch about it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're new or maybe they've even gone out of business. So it's kind of a given. It's an expectation that everyone has. It's 2019. If you are a business, you should have a website.
Yeah, you need to have a website if you're a business. It's like you said, it's how you get started in digital marketing. If you don't have it, anything else you're doing on digital marketing is probably not going to be that effective or you're going to be leaving a lot of money on the table.
Exactly. And people might think that you're not even real.
Yeah, I think we've seen some stats before that, I don't know, upwards of half of people expect you to have a website and judge you if you don't have a website or if your website doesn't look, you know, quite right. If it is that, you know, some website you tried to do yourself, but maybe you didn't, you know, do enough research or understand enough to make it look professional.
Exactly. And, you know, if I have never heard of a business or I just learn about a bit of business, I go to the website so I can kind of see, look at their pictures. If it's a restaurant, I want to look at the menu. If it's a boutique, I'm expecting them to have their inventory online. So I want to see what they have in store for me. So it's just kind of a first step, the foundation. You have to do it.
Yeah. And like you said, the word of mouth marketing, when you do tell someone else, and then they're gonna search on Google, and if they don't find your website, then they're gonna think something's up. So it's super important. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should talk about what your website needs. Mm-hmm. So obviously the first stuff is the basics, the name, address, phone number, and you'll see some people on the internet calling this the abbreviation NAP, which is, you know, kind of like an SEO term too, because having that basic information on your website is both critical for people who visit your website, who obviously want to know what is this business, how do I get to their store, or how do I call them. So it's important for the person visiting, but Google also uses it to match up your business with where your business is mentioned elsewhere. They look for matches of that name, address, and phone number. And the more often they see that match, the more they're going to give your website a little bit of a boost and think that it's a legitimate, real, local business. And maybe we should give them a little bit of preferential treatment depending on what your competitors or other businesses in your region are doing. So it's super important that you get that information correct on your website and make it super visible so that the people visiting can see that basic information and, be able to get in contact with you. So once they get that done, I think there's some more marketing type stuff that they should be doing, some branding and maybe the look and feel of their website. What do you think?
Yes, obviously you want to have your name and your logo and any type of slogan or mission statement that you have. And that name and logo should match your physical name and logo that you have. You should not have a different personality online from what you or in person. And also you should have some type of a call to action or CTA. Do you want people to contact you for something? Do you want people to go shopping on your website? Do you want people to download a free guide? Whatever the case is, you should have that. And it shouldn't be multiple things. You don't want your website to have just a whole bunch of calls to action, because that will confuse people and then people will just X out and leave because it's just overwhelming. And but going back to the information that you mentioned about having your hours and your phone number and all of that, that stuff should really be up to date.
Yes, that's super critical.
Recently, I had a little bit of a situ. Actually, it was last Friday. I wanted to buy a gift certificate for my sister, and I went to one of the local spas, and I was expecting them to have certain business hours, which were stated on their website, but when I showed up, they were closed. And I showed up during the hours that their website said that they were going to be open, and I was very upset or pissed off. Yeah. And that was my first time going to that business, and it was a terrible experience. They sort of lied to me online. They did not open. They were not open at the time they say they were going to be open, and I'm not going to go back. They have essentially lost me.
That's a big no-no, even before digital marketing. Like, you got to be consistent with stuff like that. If you have hours that are out there in the world, like, people expect you to be open, then you can't just say, oh, I don't feel like working today. I'm not going to open my business. Like, that's a huge mistake.
Exactly. And I understand. Maybe it was a slow day, and, you know, people wanted to take off early and go and start their weekend. It was a Friday. But, you know, I understand it was a Friday, but they made a certain promise on their website. And I took my time. I actually walked from our office here to get this gift certificate, and they let me down. So it was a terrible, terrible experience. But let's go back to what else people should have on their website.
Yeah, I wanted to piggyback on the call to action. If you do have multiple calls to action, then don't have them all on your homepage, or make one the very big and clear one, and, you know, move those other, you know, minor call to actions to their own page. And you could even create a landing page if you want to send certain traffic to some other call to action that's not your primary one. It's just on any given page, you don't want to have conflicting messaging on what you want the person to do next.
Yes, that's a good clarification. I wasn't saying that for your entire website, you should not have more than one call to action. I was just saying for the homepage, don't overwhelm people with, you know, do this, do that, go here, go there. And then as a visitor to your website, I'm thinking, oh my God, what exactly do you want me to do? Like, how are you prioritizing this?
Yeah. And I think this wraps into the next thing we wanted to talk about, which is like the usability of your website, which is both important, again, for people who are visiting the website and SEO. Google, you know, looks at this stuff and sees, you know, especially on mobile, like, are elements too close together? Is it going to be hard for someone to touch their finger on one element and maybe it's going to register as the other one? You want to make sure you have a nice user interface and it's designed well and people understand the flow of your website and the layout. And you just want it to be super friendly for anyone, regardless of what their device they're on. So you want a responsive website, which means that it looks good on however big the screen is. If you take your browser and you kind of adjust it, you'll notice on responsive websites, they'll start to shift around in a way that it always looks good, no matter what size, you know, the browser window is, which then correlates to phones. If you get to a super narrow browser window, that's kind of like what it would look like on a phone. So you want to make sure that it looks good on all of those things. And the best websites are actually deploying a strategy called mobile first, because most people are actually browsing the internet on their phone nowadays. So you want to make sure that the website looks good first on the phone, and then work your way from there to make it look good on larger and larger device sizes. Also taking into account not having too much content on a single page, so that it's, you know, slow for someone to download, maybe on a 3G network or, you know, a lower cell service. So those are all super important things to consider. You want it to be usable both for the visitor and to, you know, boost yourself in Google maybe a little bit.
Yeah, essentially don't make the visitor work extra hard to find the things that they want to find. If you are a restaurant, if someone is coming to your website, they are most likely looking for either your hours of operation or they're looking for a menu. So don't hide your menu from me, especially if I'm hungry and I'm on your website and you have hidden your menu from me and I've had to jump through the hoops, and I will be super annoyed at your restaurant and I probably will not come.
Yeah.
And it's just you're making me work too hard. Mm-hmm. And when hunger kicks in, I don't want to work too hard. I just want to eat something.
Yeah. And just a few other things to look out for. You know, if you need a privacy policy on your website, if you're an attorney or a doctor and you need to make some sort of disclaimer. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're running an e-commerce website, you want to make sure your website is what's called PCIDSS compliant. It basically just means you're complying with what the credit card companies want you to do so that your website is considered secure and you're not going to get in trouble like, you know, one of these big companies you've seen on the news where they, you know, their data gets stolen. So I think that's about it for what your website needs. Maybe we should talk now about how exactly you get a website.
Okay. Well, this is a question that we get very often. And, you know, it's a reasonable question. It's an important question. So how do I get a website? I'm brand new. I know I need a website. And so what are my options? And I think we always tell people that, you know, you have a couple of different options available to you. But before you begin any of this, you really need to think about, you know, what is your budget? Mm-hmm. What do you want your website to accomplish? How intricate do you want your website to be? And then based on that information, you can kind of decide what the best option for you is. So one of the options is to kind of do it yourself. And this costs, you know, this is the least expensive way to go, but it's also the most, I guess, difficult or limited way to go, especially if you don't have like a graphic design or web development background, because you're pretty much using one of the free or very cheap platforms like Wix mm-hmm. or Squarespace to pretty much get a fill in a blank website, which can kind of be a trap, but it can sometimes work out.
Yeah, it can work. I think you just got to be careful of the hidden costs and the opportunity costs, like you touched on a little bit. If you're the owner, there's probably other stuff you could be doing that might be a better use of your time potentially. So keep those things in mind too.
Yes. Everything has an opportunity cost. So you have to decide, you know, how valuable is your time? How much time do you want to devote to your website? And if this is something that you want to be involved in, if you decide, no, I don't want to do the do-it-yourself, then maybe you can hire a freelancer or you can have an employee do your website. That's also one option. Or if you really want to go really all out and get a really, really good website, then you would consider hiring an agency that, you know, has a lot more experience and expertise and, you know, can get you a really, really good website.
Yeah, those people they're doing websites all of the time. So they, you know, are kind of up to date on all the trends. They can lead you in the right direction too. You mentioned Wix and Squarespace, but then if you want to maybe get into a little bit more complicated of a situation, maybe you go with a Shopify or a WordPress or even Magento if you're running a very large e-commerce solution. That's a popular platform for big e-commerce sites. But probably most people will be using WordPress if they move out of the Wix and Squarespace environment.
Yeah. But if I'm a business and I want a super good, fast, SEO-friendly website and I want to spend $50, I'm probably not being reasonable
expectations. Yeah, those two things are incompatible. You can't do both those things. That's like saying I want to spend $1,000 on a car, but I want a brand new Ferrari. Like, yeah, you want both of those things, but that's not the way that it works. It's a balancing act. The more money you spend, the more quality you're going to get out of it. There's exceptions. I mean, you can waste your money on stuff, but in general, as you spend more and more money, your quality and your luxury and all of those things increase. You just have to figure out. That's why it's important to start with your budget mm-hmm. because you can get such a different website for $100 and $1 million. That's why it's important to figure out what range do you fall into? Are you going to spend between 100 and 1,000, between 1,000 and 5,000? And then once you have that range, an expert can help you figure out what's the best thing that we can do in that price range because mm-hmm. you can do very different things for hundreds of thousands of dollars than millions of dollars.
Exactly.
That was the next thing we're going to talk about is pricing.
The money.
Yeah, the money.
All right, let's talk about it.
Maybe let's dive into that. So okay. In the do-it-yourself, I kind of touched on this a little bit already. It's free in the sense that you don't have to pay any money to anyone necessarily, other than a few bucks to Wix or Squarespace. But what is the opportunity cost? What could you be doing otherwise that would increase the revenue streams at your business? Or if you do need stock photography or you need help with the copy or the messaging on the website, do you then have to hire someone to help you with that? Or are you also confident that you can do that? In which case, you know, maybe it is free for you. other than whatever your opportunity cost is. And the bigger your company is, the more revenue that you are bringing in or that you expect to bring in, the worse and worse of an idea it probably is for you to do it yourself, unless you happen to also be a website designer by trade, and then maybe it is the best use of your time.
Yeah, and you're kind of boxing yourself and you're limiting yourself in terms of what you can do if you just get a very, very basic Wix website. And then later you're like, oh, well, I want to have an online store. Or like, you have a Wix website.
Yeah, I think Wix might have a little package where you can run an e-commerce store, but it's probably definitely not the, the way to go.
Yeah.
Shopify or Magento is probably your best bet, or maybe WordPress with WooCommerce. But we're probably getting into too many details with all that. Okay. So moving from that is the freelancer option, the next option. Or maybe you have an employee that has a little bit of experience with this. So maybe you're going to pay someone between $20 and $80 an hour to help you customize a theme in WordPress or help you get your Squarespace just how you want it. And you might, you know, need that person to work between 4 and 20 hours, maybe for like a super small website, depending on the features and whatnot. So you can do the math on that and kind of get a range or a ballpark on what you could get accomplished with that. And then your final option is when you move into the agency or the firm world, where you're getting either a company who specializes in website design and development, or maybe a marketing agency that has that as a component of what they do. And when you're in that situation, there's actually several tiers probably to marketing agencies and web design development companies. There's like your low end people who are not, they're still good at what they do, but they're probably the cheapest option. And they're, you know, maybe in the $2,000 to $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 range. And they can get you probably a pretty nice website set up. There might be some limitations. And also it depends on how complicated your website is. That would also be a super, you know, basic website, a corporate brochure website, something like that. And then you move into your, maybe your medium tier agencies. So maybe you're in the $5,000 to $20,000 range. And these people are probably just a little bit more established. Maybe they have a little bit more knowledge about doing complicated things. They might be able to get, you know, your website super SEO friendly or something like that. Then you move into your high end agencies that, you know, could be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, even over $100,000. And these people are designing, you know, amazing websites for large companies, but they also help small and medium companies who are very serious about their web presence. So that's kind of the high end of what you can expect from an agency. But, you know, websites get even more expensive than that. If you're, I mentioned Magento earlier, if you're serious about running an e-commerce website and you're in the tens of millions of dollars, you're probably using Magento, and you probably have paid a Magento specialized agency that will charge you, you know, maybe $250,000 or maybe even more to have that website, you know, be amazing and be competitive with the Amazons and the Best Buys of the world. So that's like the high end. And, you know, other large Fortune 500 companies, governments, they might spend millions or tens of millions of dollars on their website. So the range is literally anywhere from virtually free to millions of dollars. So you really need to narrow in your budget and what you want on your website to, you know, figure out what that, you know, sweet spot is for your price range and the price you're going to pay for the website.
Yeah. And just like anything in life, you get what you pay for. And if you want to be taken seriously and you want to take yourself seriously and you want to have a solid online presence, then you need to invest a decent amount of money into your website. Just like if you're building a storefront or you're building a home, I mean, yeah, you can build a little hut on your plot of land, and it can cost you, I don't know what a hut costs, probably like $2,000. I'm not sure. I'm not much of a builder. And that's fine. But, you know, your neighbors are going to have beautiful homes and you're going to have a little hut on your lot. So same thing with websites. It's just online. You just really have to decide what kind of look, feel, and presence do I want to have.
It's so much like building a website. You could literally build the website or the house yourself. You could be the contractor on the website and try and outsource like little different parts of it. Or you could hire someone who specializes in building houses. And then you can specialize, find someone who specializes in cheap houses, in, you know, moderate middle class houses. And then you can go buy the person who's doing the luxury houses, the, you know, the mansions or the McMansion type houses.
Like
There's tiers, there's levels, there's all different, you know, ways you can go about getting a house built.
Exactly. And you really have to know your skill set as well. You know, yeah, sure, I would like to build my own house, and but I know that I do not know how to do that. I mean, but like my dad, who's really good at building houses, he builds his own house and that's his cup of tea. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to hire a contractor. I can't even like build a little doghouse mm-hmm. in my backyard. So I have to find someone who can do it. I mean, yeah, I can go to YouTube. I can figure it out. But how much time am I going
to
spend?
But what's the opportunity cost on that? You would have to basically give up your job or spend all of your free time learning on YouTube. Oh, how do I do masonry work? How do I pour concrete? How do I frame a house? How do I put a roof on? I mean, you exactly. could spend hundreds, thousands of hours learning how to build a house, or you could just pay someone and focus on what you're good at your, you know, your actual job.
I agree. And is there anything else we should talk
about? I don't know. Is there anything else people need to know about websites? I think we went through a lot of stuff.
I think I forgot to talk about something in the beginning. I was probably nervous. So I think when we talked about messaging and branding, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about how it's very important to highlight the why behind your business mm-hmm. and your homepage and your unique selling proposition. So when someone comes to your website, it's kind of a no-brainer. They can tell like, this is what this company is. This is what they do. This is why they do it. It's very, very important. So I just wanted to mention that.
That is super important. And with that, I think that's it. It's been a great 20-second episode, and definitely do feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or comments about anything we talked about today or marketing in general. You can visit us on our website, kickingitwithkpok.com, or on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as KPok Marketing. This has been Kicking It with KPok, brought to you by KPok Marketing. Thanks for listening. We'll have something just as great for you next time.